How to live a life that truly matters. That has come through my mind quite often lately. I know I'm not going to live forever, and I'm working on trying to make my life count for something, to make a difference in the world in which I live. And I'd like to recommend that you start that. I don't care how young you are. You need to be thinking about how can I live a life that really matters. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read the sad story of a man who realized late in life that his life had not counted for much, if anything. He was very despondent about the life that he had lived. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. And of course, that's Solomon, right? Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utter meaningless. Everything is meaningless. King James Version and others have vanity. Vanity. What does a man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place where the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye has never enough seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. That's a very pessimistic view of life, isn't it? Everything is meaningless. Nothing in life gives any satisfaction. When you get to in the latter part of chapter 1, he talks about the meaninglessness of wisdom. You get all the wisdom, and what good is it to you? It's all just a weariness of the flesh and meaningless. Then in chapter 2, he begins to explore different things that men sometimes think will bring meaning to life and make a difference in the world. He tried laughter. He tried wine. He tried folly. He tried projects, great houses and vineyards, gardens and parks, trees, reservoirs, male and female slaves, and on. He lists those things that men think give meaning to life and are something they can rejoice in and be proud of. But he says, all of these things are nothing to me. Just nothing meaningful or profitable about the life that I live. Well, Solomon had a very complicated life, didn't he? What I want to share with you tonight is something that a national descendant of Solomon wrote a few years ago. This man's name is Harold S. Kushner. He was a Jewish rabbi for 26 years in Massachusetts. He graduated from Jewish Theological Seminary and in the course of his lifetime received no less than 6 honorary doctor's degrees. He was a much respected counselor and writer, wrote several books, and one of the last books that he wrote was a book on the title that we're discussing tonight. It was How to Have a Life That Truly Matters. He later wrote a brief summary, I think, of that book in a short essay. And I'm going to take the time to read that to you tonight. I found it to be so true. Many principles that Jesus taught and that the New Testament affirms are found in this man's writings. Of course, he didn't believe in the New Testament. He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah and all of that. But he did have a lot of knowledge and wisdom to share with us based on solid truth as found in the Bible. Kushner starts out by saying, "My teacher, Abraham Joshua Heschel, once said to me, 'When I was young, I admired clever people. As I grew old, I came to admire kind people.'" When I read that, one man came to mind, a man I barely got to know. His name was E.W. Macmillan. He came to teach at Abilene Christian College when I was a senior. I never had a course under him. I don't remember ever shaking his hand or speaking to him. But that man made a difference in my life because he was so humble and sincere. We students in the Bible department had great respect for this man. Very few of us had courses under him, but I guarantee you, every time he was scheduled to speak at any place in Abilene, we all made it our purpose to get there to hear him. He was just that kind of man. He spoke slowly. He spoke with confidence and humility, but what he had to say was spellbinding because he gave us time to think about what he said. So when I read this tonight, I want you to think about what I'm reading and maybe ask yourself some questions. Do I feel that way? Is this true to my experience? Does this make sense to me? In today's fast-paced and highly competitive world, our souls are split. Part of us wants simply to leave a mark on the world by winning fame and fortune. But we also want to do good deeds. Unfortunately, sometimes we satisfy our worldly ambitions and find them in conflict with our desire to do good. As we grow older, we can wonder how we have truly achieved and whether we will leave the world a better place than we found it. What a noble purpose in life that is, to leave the world a better place than you found it. That's a lofty goal, but one that is within the reach of each one of us, as I hope to point out, and as Kushner points out in succeeding paragraphs. He divides our making our lives count for something in this world into four different areas, and these are the ones I want you to think about with me. The first is marriage and family. Solomon made a colossal mess of his marriage and his family. How many wives did he have? 300 wives. Can you imagine that? But on the side, he had 700 concubines. So 1,000 women he had to deal with. How in the world could a man ever be happy with that many women ding-donging at him for this or that or the other? So, what about his family? As far as I'm able to tell, Solomon only had one son, Rehoboam. And that son succeeded in splitting in half the people of God. The divided kingdom happened when Rehoboam became king. A colossal failure there also. So it's no wonder that he was pessimistic about really making a difference in his life. Well, the institution of marriage has existed for thousands of years because it satisfies the basic human need to know that someone else truly cares about us. When couples live together without marriage and feel free to split up, they cannot fail to get the message. You can be replaced. Marriage delivers a more meaningful and satisfying message. Here's that message. You matter to me more than anyone else in the world. That's marriage. You matter to me more than anyone else in this world. It also lets you shape the lives of others, your partner, and your children. You can make a difference in their lives and live a life that truly matters by being an influence, a positive influence on your wife and your children. If we live according to the values we believe in, we have an unparalleled opportunity to transmit or pass on those values. We can feel confident that we have made a demonstrable positive difference in the world. Even people who never marry can be important figures and role models in the lives of their siblings, their brothers and sisters, their nieces, their nephews, their neighbors, students, and co-workers. The possibilities are just numberless for making a difference in the lives of people around about us if we live according to the convictions and the rules that we set for our own life. The second area that Kushner says makes for a truly meaningful life is that of friendship. Have you ever considered how important your friends are to you? Obviously, Solomon had none. He was suspicious of everybody around him. And if he had the first inkling that someone was going to be a challenge to his authority and his position, he had him executed. So he had no real friends. The unique human capacity for friendship extends our power to do good beyond the family. Relying on our spouses to satisfy all our emotional needs puts too great a burden on our most intimate relationship. Life can't satisfy every need that we have. And we may damage our relationship with our children if we expect them to meet our emotional needs at the expense of their growing up to be who they need to be. You have to let children grow up and be the people that they need to be and not try to control their lives. There's a movie based on an Italian family that Sarah and I watch with a lot of entertainment because it's an Italian family, and we learned to appreciate and to love the Italian spirit and their fiery nature. But there is a man who is engaged to this young woman, and he is afraid to marry this woman because he is afraid if he does, his mother will die. And so the story goes. He was afraid to make a commitment because he thought his mother might die. He was depending on his mother to supply all of his emotional needs and didn't want to get involved in the lives of some other woman. Cultivating friendships, making our lives important to people outside the family, enhances our sense of personal significance. Friendships are a way for us to be recognized as unique individuals and to feel reassured that we are appreciated for who we are. Friends can do that for you, and you can do that for friends. Last night, I called a friend of mine. His name is Stephen Prager. He's a member of the choral group that I sing with. The report was that Stephen was wrestling with a kidney stone, and that's not much fun. David has had a couple of those things, and it is misery. So I called to check on Steve, and I never had anybody express so much gratitude for a call. He was just, I don't know if he was amazed, but he was greatly impressed that I had thought of him. Friends do that for friends, and we need more of that. That'll help us live a life that really makes a difference. So don't neglect your friends. When we are important in others' lives, and as a result they are happier, more secure, and more likely to make the right choices, it makes our lives meaningful. Isn't it thrilling to know that maybe your example or your interest in someone, a friend of yours, can make a difference in the choices they make in life? I know that's possible. It's happened to me, and I think I've seen it happen in other people's lives too. We need to be conscious of the great power of influence that our friendship can have in the lives of others. Makes our life more meaningful, and theirs too. The third area that Kushner says is important in living a life that really matters is in the area of revenge, forgiveness, and justice. Sometimes in our struggle to be good people, our problem is not to do right, but to choose between two rights. We face this dilemma when someone hurts us. Part of us wants to pay that person back as he or she deserves. Even if we simply fantasize about getting even without actually putting our plots into action, which is what most of us do, we end up embittering ourselves without affecting the other person. That really messes up people's heads. when you don't respond and retaliate when they do you wrong. Paul said it heaps coals of fire on your enemy's head when you don't repay evil for evil. That takes a lot of self-control, doesn't it? Forgiving someone who has harmed us removes the bitterness that accompanies plotting revenge. Even if we simply fantasize about getting even without actually putting our plots into action. If we do carry out our vengeful schemes, it makes us feel that we have lowered ourselves to the same level as our adversary. And that's true. We think less of ourselves and fear that other people think less of us as well. That's probably true. Forgiveness is important to living a meaningful life. Not because of it is saintly, but because it is sensible. Not saintly, but sensible. Life is too short and too precious to be wasted on hatred. We must not bury the hatchet of disagreement with the handle sticking out. Our forgiveness must be complete and permanent. Forgiveness does not mean, however, that punishment is wrong. Society should punish criminal wrongdoers, if only to protect potential victims from harm. Forgiveness is a private virtue, but punishment through the legal system is a public responsibility. And then he gives an example. A few years ago, a woman who had been the victim of a brutal assault refused to testify against her attacker. She had forgiven him. It was praiseworthy of her to forego the opportunity to get even with her attacker. But as a citizen, she had a responsibility to contribute to the safety of her neighbors by getting this dangerous man off the street. So it works two ways. The fourth area of influence and dealings that Kushner says can help us make a difference in this world and live a life that really matters is that of helping others. Helping others. One of the most effective ways we have to live a life that matters is to take a supporting role in other people's lives. We all need that, and particularly those that are struggling. In the book, My Grandfather's Blessings, Dr. Rachel Naomi Raymond told the story of George, a terminally ill cancer patient. He was a scientist who made a fortune inventing medical devices. George had messed up his personal life, estranging two former wives and several grown children. He lamented, "What a fool I've been. All I cared about was making money. And now I'll end up leaving it all to people who don't even like me." I fear that many a rich man has found himself in just that position. Spent his whole life making money, neglected his family, his wife had no use for him, and his children were just eager for him to pass on so they could get his money. That's not much life, is it? I couldn't say that that's the way to live a life that really matters. Another patient, however, was a young woman with a chronic condition that had been successfully treated by one of George's devices. When the woman learned who George was, she hosted an elegant party in his honor. All her relatives who had nursed her through her illness and seen her return to good health spoke of the difference that George's invention had made. He saw how the way he had helped other people, even unknowingly, had made his life worthwhile. A key to living a life that matters is to realize that we will leave the world a better place only because of the work we have done. The kind acts we have performed, the love we have given and received, and the people who will remember us fondly and perpetuate our memory. Those are Kushner's answers to the question, how can I live a life that really matters? I hope you will take this suggestion seriously, and you'll think about your own life and make your life matter in this world. I have to share a secret with you. I'm sure he would be embarrassed for me to tell you this. But your preacher is going through a pretty difficult time right now because he's having some doubts and misgivings about whether or not he is really living a life that matters. That's the best way I can put it. The other day he came over and sat down with his mother and me and told us of his discouragement and his wondering if maybe he ought to plan to do something else to make his life more meaningful. I can understand him because through the years I've been in that same mindset with that same feeling as he's had. He's discouraged because he says the church is not growing and people are not responding. And he said, I'm quoting his exact words, I feel like the man in the story, the preacher, who went down and watched the train go through town every day. And the people began to wonder, why is that preacher going down to the railroad to watch the train go through town? And finally he explained, you know, that train is the only thing that moves around here that I don't have to push or pull. That told me something. I need to get more involved. I need to try to make a difference and encourage that boy of mine. You don't mind my saying so, I think he's great. I think he's making a great difference in the lives of a lot of people that he doesn't realize. But he needs to be encouraged, as you do and as I do. So let's all pull together and make our lives, lives that make a difference, lives that really matter in the kingdom of God. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to become one. That'll make your life worthwhile. It'll give you the satisfaction of knowing that you're living a life that makes a difference. You're living a life that really matters. If you've not lived as a Christian should, there couldn't be a better time than to make acknowledgments of your neglect, your wrong, your mistakes, whatever it may be. We'd be delighted to pray with you. We bid you come in response to the Lord's invitation as we sing the song.